Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast in video games. Today, we are in Peak. I keep forgetting to say what game we're in, but we're in Peak. And this game is Peak, you could say.
Peak.
Because it's very good. It's very fun.
It's Peak. P-E-A-K. Hey, what's that? Do you remember that TikTok sound where it goes like this? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was actually a really good impression.
How do I find that?
Just find the sound.
Yeah, I just want to listen to it again, but I can't. How do I find it?
I don't know. I would just Google like TikTok sound, like maybe like, AUGH.
AUGH.
Yeah.
All right. If this is what it is, I'm gonna flip because it auto-corrected to AUGHHH.
Yeah, that's probably it. That's probably the one.
No, it's something else. All right, well, oh well.
Is that, like, a representation of how you're feeling today?
No, I've been thinking about it. I probably saw it first, like, maybe 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, and I just, every day, I think about it at least once, and I want to remember if anyone knew how to, like, find it. So hopefully now that I've done it out on a podcast, someone will be like, oh, it's from Crabman 67 or whatever, and you go watch it.
Yeah, that's a good classic.
Thanks for bringing
one.
Me to this airport. We're in an airport.
Yeah, we are in an airport, and I wanted to start the pod here because if you'll take a gander behind you, there's an airplane out
plane.
There. And I wanted to know if you could at least approximate what type of plane you think this is.
You know, we don't fly. It has similar... I can't really see it, actually. Well, I can't kind of. Can I jump, like, if I go like this?
No, you can't. You can't. I tried that earlier.
Well, we don't fly twin-engine propeller planes very much anymore. And this one doesn't look like many of the ones that I'm familiar with. It kind of looks like a plane called a King Air, but it's definitely bigger than the King Air. This game is going to... I'm going to die. I'm going up the rope. I got to figure out how to play this.
Doesn't have wheels, I noticed.
Didn't see that. I'll have to go take a closer look.
Yeah, let's get
climbing
back up
this
here.
Rope. Oh, does it not have wheels? So they did a little gear up landing, as we say. Maybe they must have had a maintenance issue. Well, it's got wheels under one of the wings. Oh, and this is also interesting.
On
so
the
you'll
wings.
See. Yeah, so you've got two wheels, one on either wing. And then that means there's a third wheel somewhere under the butt. Now, we call this a tailwheel airplane, or some people call them a tail dragger. They are significantly more finicky to fly and to land than having the two big wheels in the back, like most planes do now. And what this means is it's probably based on something like the DC-3, which was a really old Douglas, what was it, Douglas, and it might have just been Douglas. Yeah, Douglas DC-3. Roughly. Now, there's problems there because this, as you can see on the right-hand side, the tail is what we call a T-tail because the horizontal portion, the horizontal stabilizer, is up towards the top of the tail as opposed to the bottom.
Right.
Which, like a 737, would be on the bottom. So it's not quite perfect. I'm sure there is some random strange plane that this is based off of that I don't know. But yeah, tail dragger, two propellers, and a T-tail. My goodness, this is a heck of a plane.
This could have been a case of the person doing the 3D model just kind of making a plane from memory.
Well, no, because it is. Bing Bong Airways was a real airline from the 1950s.
Oh, right, of course.
so it has. It gives me the same vibes as the plane at the start of Super Mario Sunshine, which is a ludicrous plane. You're falling. You're falling. You're falling.
Oh, I saved it. I did also notice that the jet bridge, is that what this is called, is not connected to it. So hopefully
it
they figure
not,
that
no.
out. We don't have to jump across
and
a gap.
It doesn't appear that the door is the door on this side? I can't even tell.
I'm not sure.
Wait, are we going to get on the plane?
Yeah, we are.
Wait, are we playing? Is this a Let's Play or a podcast?
Well, we're going to go to the mountain and find a place to stand on the mountain, and then we're going to do the rest of the podcast.
Okay, you just wanted to have a quick segment at the start look at the... airplane.
Didn't want
to
bypass
I appreciate that a lot.
The airplane.
No,
I thought
sure.
that would be important to you.
I would have been a little, I wouldn't have said anything, but I would have been a little miffed. Do you think we can, we got a plane crash?
Yeah. Yeah, we crashed. If you noticed on the little... Well, so now we have a closer view of the airplane.
Yeah, we do.
Let's it's just in two halves.
You know, there's not that many seats on it. This is a... What are we carrying? 6, 7, 8. These two are facing back. So honestly, at most, we're carrying like 12 people on this plane. So we're going to a small island, which I guess we ended up on one, but probably not the one we were supposed to.
Yeah, I don't think this is where we want it to be. You look so sad.
I'm happy. This is my I have resting bitch face, as they say.
You have resting really, really sad face.
Yeah. Hey, there's a problem happening.
This might be a one-person bridge.
Huh.
Oops.
Damn. Okay, there is fall damage.
Well, maybe we can pod from this little cave. Okay, hello again, guys. We fell into this crevasse.
Crevasse. I like that.
We both
not a crevice.
Tried to stand on a bridge at the same time, which I forgot that
you
can't
pronounce, do you have any other words you pronounce like you are extremely wealthy?
Is that a wealthy way to say that? I think crevasse and crevice are different words.
Oh, are they?
I think so. I think they're spelled different.
Crevice. Oh, yeah. You know what? I think you're right.
A crevice is small,
a narrow opening or fissure. Crevasse. So it's like...
crevasse is larger and more
no,
grand.
No, you're so right. Okay. So you... Yeah, wow. Crevasse. Yeah, okay. I accept. That's the way of the world. What were we talking about? Nothing, I don't think. What have you been up to?
Yeah, nothing important. What have I been up to? I've been doing hella stuff.
Anything? Have you? Have you been leaving the house?
I have been.
You wearing, jackets and stuff? Backpacks?
Just typically a t-shirt. It's pretty warm outside lately. But,
Okay.
Yeah, I've had very busy days. I don't know where all my time keeps going. I swear, like, since we moved to Oregon, all the weeks go by so quick. It's like 1 week is one day. I can't even believe we've been here a year. We are going to slowly starve to death standing here. But,
I thought you meant you and Noah in Oregon. And I was like, that's not good. I do have cookies that we can eat.
Oh, right.
And an apple.
Okay, good.
So,
no, that'll be fine then.
Yeah.
But yeah, so over the weekend I was doing a bunch of stuff. On Saturday I did a little volunteer thing because I'm trying to get out of the house and participate in my community. So I...
Who did you help?
I've volunteered at my city's Pride Festival. And I was doing a raffle booth. It's like... They do a raffle for donations, and I was selling raffle tickets, and honestly had the time of my life. I love a customer facing job like that, and like a easy kind of task with my hands. So I was selling tickets and ripping them off and telling people what to do, and I'm just so entertained. Like, time goes by so quick when I'm doing something like that. Because I just love, talking to all the people, and you just, see so many interesting people. It really is... You get such a picture of humanity when you are serving customers like that. It's really funny. Every type of person exists, and you see them all.
I used to tell people, it's funny because those types of jobs, like retail jobs, front-facing jobs, like, they're actually... kind of fun for like a week, when you first get job, it's like kind of fun to like go in, it's new stuff and new people, I mean, barring exceptions obviously. And so what I used to tell my servers when I was managing at the bakery is they would ask me sometimes, like, I want to get another job and quit, and I would say, well, why? And they would usually go, because I think it'll be better for my life. And I would always say, it's not going to be, I promise. But you will get like a free month of like novelty serotonin. And if that's beneficial to you, then you can just keep like every 3 months, if you just keep getting a new job, you'll just keep being excited. And so you can kind of sustain yourself by bouncing from one to the next, because it's so engaging just to like talk to new people and be around a place and do a little job and stuff like that. Volunteering is an even better balance, because you only do it, you know, what, once a week, a couple times a month.
Yeah.
It's kind of like true. Perfect.
But I do even, you know, I haven't, again, I haven't worked a service job for like a whole year yet.
Sure. Yeah.
Yet. Like maybe it gets incredibly, I guess I could in the future.
YouTube's taking a tank. You're going to burn out and have to go back and work
I've done it for like 4 months each. But I do kind of still enjoy it at the end, especially if I have to do something really like fast paced, like the drive through. I love the drive through. I don't know how long it would take. I'm sure I would burn out on the drive through eventually, but
I think drive through is what people call a career. That's not a job. That's a career. Nobody honestly, burns out on the drive through, man.
There was a guy at the Starbucks I worked at that had been working there long enough that he could negotiate like exactly when and what he was doing at work. Because most of the time you don't get to choose, right? You get assigned a shift and they just put you wherever they need you. But this guy had been working there so many years that like he was the drive-through guy from like the morning opening to noon on like these specific days. And he came in every single time and did that exact thing. And honestly, it would take me a while to burn out on that because it just like it occupies 100% of my brain because I'm like talking to somebody at the window and taking somebody's order and like putting orders together and like just time goes by really fast. And
it is true that the hardest part of a job like that is the part from when you wake up to like 30 minutes after you get there. Like once that portion's done, you're kind of chilling, like not chilling as in relaxing, but like if you're the type of person that can get locked in on that kind of work,
you've accepted that you're there and you're going to be there a while and you're just kind of in it.
Yeah, that's how I felt about you've seen The Bear, right? You watch that guy?
No, I should watch that though because I've heard a lot about it.
I didn't like it, honestly. Not because it was actually like a great representation, I thought, of that type of work. But I just didn't think the writing was very good. But there's a scene where he says, what does he say?
GTA?
GTFOMEC. He says, get the fuck off my expo, chef. And the expo is the position. It's like the air traffic controller, but for all the food coming out all the time at a fancy restaurant. and I used to do that at this like fancy Italian restaurant that I used to work at. I was the expo. And the chef I worked with was like one of the most competent people ever, but also like,
what does that mean? You're like shouting out what the dishes are.
So it basically means is the chef's getting tickets printed all the time. So it's, you'll get a ticket. And so they'll have like 20 to 30 tickets lined up on this thing. And they have to keep track of which tables on which course. Are they doing entrees? Is it appetizers? Are they on desserts? Whatever. And they have to instruct their team to make everything in such a way that everything will come up at the right time and get brought out to the tables at the right time. What that means on my side, the expo side, so they're the back expo, the chef is the back expo, and then I'm the front expo. That means that the food starts coming up in the window, and this window I worked at, it was like 30 feet long. It was a really big kitchen. Wow. And so you would get something like, you know, 20 to 25 dishes of some sort would be getting set up in the window. Salads, pastas, lasagnas, pizzas, all the Italians that you can get. Desserts.
Fettuccine.
Steaks. It doesn't matter. Fettuccine. They didn't do fettuccine, actually, but
tiramisu.
Everything else. Sometimes. So there'd be 25 or 30 plates with shit on them. And then the chef would go,
ew,
all right, all the food's ready. And yeah, exactly. And then she would take like 10 tickets off of her thing, slam them in front of me and go, sell the food, get it all out. And so you'd have to take the tickets, line them up, look at all of them, check off the dishes you had, check off the stuff that you didn't, organize them by time. And then you've got a team of runners that you then hand them off to. And then you have to like circle stuff that's not done yet, communicate with them about, I'm still waiting on one salad and I need two of these for this. And then the chef yells at you because, you know, chefs never think they do anything wrong. They always assume it's your fault. Sometimes it is. And so you guys still need one of these. And they go, where's that one? And I go, that one was for this table that you forgot
really
about
stressful.
From earlier. If things go wrong, it's really bad.
Yeah.
But if you stay on top of it, like with the drive-thru, it's just super flow state.
Yeah.
Like efficient.
It's like work, a video
and it
game.
It feels really good to get it right. Yeah, it felt like a video game. It felt like playing like Overcooked or Diner Dash, kind of in a way.
Exactly.
Only if you made a mistake, you would actually get belittled or berated gently. Not gently.
Did
actually,
you get yelled at?
Oh yeah, dude. One time, and when I say yelled at, I should clarify, because one time she yelled at me for saying that she yells at me. again, I like this lady. I'm not gonna name who it was. I like this person a lot, and she was super competent and incredible chef. So when I say yelled at, I just mean like scolded very directly in a way that's meant to make me feel really bad about myself, but she did not technically raise her voice. So it's not fair of me to say yelled according to her.
It was so, yelled in feeling though, you know?
Yeah. It's like you say,
the intention,
like if I would,
was yelled.
Exactly. Like, whatever it is. So yeah, like one time I accidentally, and this was totally my fault, I sent a dish to a table where the person at the table had an allergy, and I sent them the version of the dish that had not been modified to not have the thing. And we caught it in time, but from that point on through the rest of the night, any time that the chef saw me looking like I was like getting behind or overwhelmed, she would go, what are you thinking about killing another one of my customers right now? What are you doing? And she just said that like, you know, probably 5 or 6 times throughout the night, anytime I was getting stressed out. So it was fun. It was a fun job. But
goodness.
It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Shout out to that restaurant. I love that restaurant.
People get stressed in those kind of environments. I'm not one to get stressed about anything. I just kind of end up laughing at people when they act that stressed around me. When I was at Starbucks, I had never used a freaking like industrial mop before, like with the bucket that you squeeze it out. Like that was like the first time that I'd had a job
like
where I had
the
to
yellow
do that.
One? You're talking about like the yellow bucket, and you put it and you pull the handle down.
Yes. I just had never done that before.
Mop.
I didn't, well, because like people don't have that in their houses. I just hadn't done that
before.
Yeah,
it's not a residential mop. I would say it's a commercial mop.
But this girl that was like the try hard, like all these jobs have one person that just cares way too much. She was not a manager, but
people.
She acted like she
those
was.
People are my fucking, oh, well, that's annoying.
She like really made fun of me for. Because I asked how to use the mop. I'm like, I've never used a mop like this before. Like, can you just like show me what you do real quick? It took her 30 seconds to show me how to do it, and I was fine. But she was like, wait, you've never mopped? Like, you've never used a mop?
So funny.
I'm like, no, not a mop like this. Like, she just cared way too much, and I kind of just like started giggling when she said that because it's just, it's a little bit funny when people care so much.
How did that go when you giggled at her?
I don't know. I mean, she was just kind of the type of person to be perpetually pissed off. So I don't think I really made her more pissed off.
Sure. It makes sense. Well, you'd do it again, it sounds like.
I would piss off that girl again, yeah, any day.
Yeah. You giggle at that girl.
I think she maybe still follows me on Instagram. Shout out if you're watching this podcast.
I wonder if she remembers that.
Maybe.
How do you think she tells that story? Like, what do you think her
I think she probably doesn't. I didn't work there for very long. I think they probably all have forgotten about me. Anyway, so I had a great time at this raffle booth. I was just saying I love... Like, another thing I love about it is it's kind of like my stand-up comedy hour because I have, like, new faces all the time to make new little jokes to...
Yeah, and you can like test them throughout the day, like
yeah,
which
you
ones
can
really
test
work.
Them, and then it's very low pressure because people are just like in and out. Like you're only interacting with them for like 1 minute, so
yeah.
you don't feel the same pressure as if I was like having a long conversation with someone where I have to like keep them entertained for a long time. It's like I can just come up with a one liner. Oh, enjoy your cookies, I guess.
I gave you some.
They take up like your whole screen. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
A couple of people were funny because like I was saying, you see the whole like spectrum of humanity. This one lady comes up and is just, this is like a, oh, you poisoned me.
Oh, I fed you an apple. I thought you said that I was poisoned by the sea urchin, but I guess it was the apple.
there's this certain type of customer that's usually like older that is just confused, and I don't know what they're confused about, and they don't know what they're confused about. You know what I mean? Like, there's this lady that came up and was like, "So, is this where you buy raffle tickets?" And I'm like, "Yeah. Here's the prices, because we had like a price list where you get more, you know, you get more for your money the more that you buy or whatever." And she's looking at it and goes, "Okay." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay.
You got to process.
You buy the tickets here, and then you can go put them in those boxes to like win stuff." And she's like looking around, brow furrowed, and she goes, "Okay." I'm like, what is confusing about this situation?
Do you like? Was there some message that she was trying to get across, you think?
Was she
opposed to the idea of raffles and she was trying to like communicate that to you? Or was she maybe miffed that the raffle prices were too high?
Or there were a couple people.
It's possible. You could think about this. If she was homophobic, then probably she was having a pretty bad time since she was at
the
Pride
Festival.
She was
having a really bad time.
Yeah, so she was in a bad mood. So, because if you were homophobic and you went to one of those things, you'd be pissed the whole time.
There were gay people everywhere, let me tell you.
Yeah. You'd feel very overwhelmed. So,
and they got rainbows on. Yeah, maybe she was just like very lost and confused then, because it was an indoor event. So she had to like come through the ticket gate and come into this building just chock full of gay people. And she's like, maybe she was just generally scared and confused.
She get any tickets?
No, I don't think so. There were a couple people that I guess assumed the raffle was free for some reason and then were disappointed that it's not.
Yeah, not
that's
what a raffle
not really
is,
the point
folks.
Of a raffle, but okay. And then there was a couple of kids that came up, and it really reminded me of the kid we saw at VidCon that did something similar. But I just love how kids will come up and just not really fully explain themselves, or they'll just tell you something and not actually ask a question and expect you to know what they want.
100%. Yeah, they presuppose a lot of rapport and knowledge.
Yeah, but these two girls came up and one of them was like, "So I want a backpack." And I'm like, "Okay, cool."
Congrats.
And she's just looking at me and I'm looking at her and I'm like, "Okay, well, I'm selling raffle tickets if you want a raffle ticket." And then she ended up talking to a couple other people and I guess she like won a backpack at a different booth or something and was maybe trying to find out where to find it. Yeah. I don't know. But she didn't say that or ask me anything. She just came up to me and said, "I want a backpack." Kid at VidCon that came up to us because we had industry badges on, I guess, and was just like, "J-Man Curly promised my friend a VR headset."
Yes.
And we're just like...
And that was like the first thing he said.
Okay.
That was it.
Cool. like just thinking he's just telling us the news.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. And we were like, that's incredible.
But I think he wanted our help in obtaining the promised VR headset, which of course we had nothing to do with.
The next thing he said was, I believe he said, "You know J-Man Curly's manager." And we said, "No, we don't." And he's like, "Oh, okay. Well, if you see him, J-Man Curly said my friend gets a VR headset."
Right.
And, you know, I hope that that person got the VR headset.
Right. But I think there's maybe an 80% chance that that never occurred.
Yes. Most likely the friend was lying to be like, "My uncle works at Nintendo and they told me that Peach and Mario are actually cousins or something." I don't know why that came to my head.
Wow.
Sorry, I'm not sure what that's about. I have a big screen in my face that just says crevasse, and it has a picture of crevasses all over it, so I think I'm getting distracted. I should close it.
Okay.
Do you remember those magicians we saw?
Yes. Did you look them up?
I should say magician, really. No offense.
I know, you didn't like one of them. I don't think I was paying enough attention to the show to notice the difference. But you,
one of them
you didn't like.
Genuinely a very good magician, and one of them was a different type of entertainer. And the one who was a very good magician has started showing up on my TikTok. I was like, oh, I know that guy. Well, not no, but I saw that guy. Yeah. And now I'm seeing him again. Pretty cool.
Wait, did I ever tell you the story about this magician that I had a DVD of when I was a kid, and then I saw him in real life?
And I can't say you have.
I might have talked about this on a stream or something, but when I was a kid, my family would take me and my sister frequently to the Dollar Tree, where famously everything is $1, and give us like...
previously, no longer.
And right, and it's a freaking scam now. Any prices, anything goes in there now. But we would be given $5 to $10 and then go on a little shopping spree. And to a child, that's very exciting because $10 is 10 whole things at the Dollar Tree. The yes. possibilities are endless. And they had a whole toy aisle.
Did you not know about tax at that time?
No, I was ignorant of tax. But I guess that was just...
That sucks.
You know, my grandma was including that. She was taking the hit of the taxes for us. But at one point, I obtained a $1 DVD of Magic Tricks.
And
went home and watched it with my sister. And it was such exciting tricks as wobbling a pencil and it looks like it's rubber. You know that one?
Yes, funnily enough, you just brought back a memory of that chef that I worked for who used to do that when there was nothing going on. She would
just wobble a pencil.
Obsessively wobble a pencil in front of my face. And she would always go, look at this.
To show you?
Yeah.
Like she thought it was cool. So cool. But,
it was something. Yeah, wait, I don't know.
I hope you went, whoa, every time.
I don't know if, yeah, I'm not sure if I
Whoa,
did.
That's
I
crazy.
Think I did a backdoor, but I can't remember. Anyway, so this magician taught you that.
Yeah, so that was
And you don't remember what this is called?
I don't remember his name, unfortunately. But
that
was the caliber of magic tricks that was on this DVD that he was teaching us. And then, so years later, we go to a resort in Mexico that my great aunt had a timeshare at. And it was an all-inclusive resort, which is a lot of fun for kids, as I think I've said before, because you just go into any restaurant, get whatever you want.
I didn't realize that until you told me. What an incredible
idea.
So
me and my sister were running around getting mocha frappuccinos and pasta 24/7. I think
of course.
I gained 10 pounds on that trip. It was awesome.
Those two things?
Yeah, that's what I remember. There was like a coffee place that sold like an equivalent of a mocha frappuccino that like every single... I would get like three of them a day because I can do whatever I want. And there was like a...
You didn't have any supervision, I guess.
No. We were running around like crazy.
That's incredible. I bet that was so fun.
It was. I was getting three mocha frappuccinos. I was getting spaghetti for every meal because I love spaghetti. I was probably... I think... I was like 16. I'm talking like I'm a little kid.
I was picturing about eight years old, maybe nine.
No, I think I was 16.
16, okay. That changes this image slightly.
Anyway, so imagine our shock when we go to the freaking magician show at the resort and it's the guy that was on my Dollar Tree DVD.
That's incredible. Now, could we... we're sort of reverse engineer based on the resort name and the date.
I couldn't possibly tell you.
If you couldn't remember the name of the resort.
No. Sorry.
Remember where it was? Are you dodging
because
you don't
want to
tell everyone about this incredible
But there's probably
magician?
A lot of resorts in Cancun.
Yeah, there are. Okay. Well, that's too bad. Dollar Tree DVD magician. All right.
So if me and my sister are like silently freaking out in the audience watching this show, and then the show ends and he like comes down to the audience and there's a little line of people to go meet him, most of which are very small children and we're teenagers, but we wait in the line and we get up to meet him and we're so excited and we go, oh my gosh, we have your DVD from the dollar store. And an actual look of like such disappointment and embarrassment comes over his face. Like,
what?
The second we say that, he's like so disappointed. It's like a horrible memory that's come back for him. Oh, did you pass away?
I'm surprised. I feel like that would be incredible.
I just remember this like flicker of sadness across his face. And then he did take a picture with us. And so somewhere there's a picture of us with this guy. But
Oh my God, find it.
I know. I have no idea where it would be.
It's probably a physical picture, right? Because this is what, 14, 15 years ago? 14?
A long time ago.
So this would have been like, well, phone. It could have been on a phone somewhere. So what happens?
Yeah, oh, so now you're a ghost. I can see you as a ghost now.
Oh, incredible.
I'm going to try to heal so I can live a little bit longer. Anyway, shout out to that man. Again, I don't know his name, but I hope he's happy. I hope he was making bank on the resort show. And there's no shame in having a DVD in the dollar store. We were genuinely so excited about it. And I hope you don't feel embarrassed.
Well, but, and I wonder, like, what... If that's the level of magician you are, what could, like, what does he want people to recognize him for, if not a massively produced DVD?
I'm not sure.
DVD,
it could have been, like, you know? That memories were coming back of how maybe he got ripped off on the royalties or something. I don't know.
I guess, yeah, if it's at a Dollar Tree, they ain't making that much money on it.
Yeah.
There's a class of job, like wedding DJ, magician, hypnotist... clown
hypnotist,
like, yeah.
No, you're so right.
Didn't we talk
about
hypnotism recently? Is that when I said, like, it wasn't until, like, kind of recent, like, not recently, but like probably well into my 20s that I learned that hypnotism is totally made up. It's like not, it's like mentalism.
I don't think we've talked about this, but I mean, I didn't really think it was real.
Well, I did. I thought it was like not real in the sense of like the person had mystical powers, but that there was some way to trick the brain into truly entering an alternate state. But it's actually just a bunch of people who want attention acting funny, pretty much, and a bunch of tricks to cycle through people fast enough so you find the most gullible of them. It's a bummer.
I've seen a couple like hypnotist shows. And they always have like rounds of kicking people off like it's a game show because they're
exactly, yeah.
They're like looking at people's faces and seeing if they're taking it seriously or not.
And so you just self-select for the people who want to be goofy,
right.
Basically.
It's easy enough to believe that you can just kind of like maybe they're not actually in an alternate state of mind, but you can trick people into thinking they're in an alternate state of mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you give a teenager zero alcohol beer, they still like act drunk, you know?
Right.
It's no different, really.
Yeah, exactly. But if it works, it works. I mean, there are people that swear that they've been hypnotized into like quitting smoking. And if that actually worked for you, then sick. Well, I'm glad you quit smoking.
No, I am not here to shit on the... And the power of placeboing yourself into any kind
self-improvement. Yeah.
I think it's incredible. There's that episode of, is it Mind? Not Mind Freak. What's the one with Vsauce that he did on YouTube? Mind. You know Vsauce?
We've talked about this before and also couldn't remember the name of the show.
What the fuck is it called? Not the mentalist.
I know what you
the
mean,
The mind
though.
Killer, the mind freak. Mind Man.
Speaking of the Mind Freak, though, I was looking up, because that's Chris Angel, right?
Chris Angel Mind Freak.
I was looking at his Instagram recently, and he's still on stage flipping around like crazy. Dogs out, barefoot on the stage.
That was always kind of his vibe, right?
Is it? Is he? He just always has his dogs out?
I don't know specifically, but his vibe was someone who would like wear an open button-up shirt with nothing underneath it type shit. So dogs out would not surprise me at all. Dang, he aged really well. He's still pretty hot. Well, and by still, I mean he now is hot.
But the videos of his performance are really funny because right now he's doing one where he levitates a lot and like flies around the stage and it's very obviously wires. And I'm sure if you're there in person, you can see that it's wires. But he has a couple videos on his Instagram right now where the wires are very obviously blurred out. Like if you just look where the wires should be in the video, there's just straight up like a Gaussian blur effect over that part of the screen.
Stuff like that's wild to me. Cause like, do you remember, David Copperfield, you know, this guy?
Yeah.
You know how he made the Statue of Liberty disappear? Or sorry, Litterby disappear?
No.
He did a trick where he put a bunch of people in an audience. And it was like this big like platform that could rotate. That was the trick, but they didn't know that. And then they put a big... It was in the Hudson River looking at the Statue of Liberty or whatever.
They just turned them around.
Raised a curtain... And then, like, moved his hands around a bunch and went, oh.
And they just turned them.
And they just slightly turned the stage so that the real statue was, like, behind a thing and then dropped the curtain and it was gone. I just don't understand how anyone
They didn't feel that. It move?
No, because they did this thing where they, like, played really loud bassy music so that, like...
So it shook,
you know,
the
floor. They did a bunch of stuff to... Exactly, yeah. and I just don't...
I love like, that, though. I love how corny some magic tricks are. Like, it's the most obvious shit in the world when you actually look into it.
Yeah. That's I just so feel funny. Like good magic, you're supposed to be like, oh, like, you know it's fake, but you're like, how did they do that? But, like, nobody is going to believe that you disappeared. It's just, I don't know. It's weird. But that's real footage. You can go watch that.
That's really funny.
Disappearing the Statue of Liberty. Yeah.
I love that. Well, because...
Because you would think people would see it and they'd just, like, stand up and be like, wait, where the fuck... Is it? And then be like, oh, it's right over there.
Right, exactly. Like, I assume when they left that event, they saw it again. Like,
yeah, like, it didn't, it's not gone forever. But
that's really awesome. And I saw another magician that, like, had a major malfunction during his show, and it was supposed to be, like, there were many funny things about this show, but he had multiple different like scenes that were of different themes. And there was a section that was all about like water. And he was up on this platform behind a fountain and he was just moving his hands to like make the fountain do more water, which is like obviously the most obvious thing in the world. You just have it programmed to do that, but whatever.
Yeah. Or you just like have someone on stage with a spigot, turn it up.
But it wasn't working. So he was moving his hands and the fountain was doing nothing, and he was like looking off stage and very obviously annoyed and kept doing it and nothing happened. And then they closed the curtains and just went to the next thing. So nothing actually happened.
But like went to the next trick or went to a new performer?
Just went to the next whole scene. And the very next scene was introduced as the Land of the Rising Sun, which is Japan. And then everybody proceeded to come out in Chinese outfits and everything about it was Chinese. But they called it the Land of the Rising Sun.
Well, you can't win them all, I guess. You do your best.
Anyway, maybe I should be a magician. That sounds so fun. But they all seem to be kind of miserable. Are there any happy magicians?
I think David Blaine is one of the most incredible performer people, and he kind of does like a Nathan Fielder thing where his whole demeanor is like super dry and he doesn't like do anything corny. I feel like he's probably doing all right. He treats that craft pretty seriously. He's not up there in a frilly shirt. Not that there's anything wrong with that, you know, making the Statue of Liberty disappear.
I think the way to do it for me would be to lean into the silliness and just not be embarrassed about it and just let it be silly and obvious and like and just have fun with it, because I feel like it could be so fun if you don't take it too seriously. But my impression is that a lot of magicians take it really, really seriously and they really want you to believe it, and they get offended if you don't or if something goes wrong.
There is a culture of like the magician's secret.
Exactly.
You know, that is maybe not the move. I watched that movie Now You See Me. Have you ever seen this movie?
No.
It was pretty bad. And since you haven't seen it, there's no point in me telling you about the magicians in it. But it was, they rob a bank using magic. It's really bad, but they do it like, it doesn't matter. We don't need to go into it. That is how I remembered, like that's where I remembered that I knew that hypnotism was fake, is when I watched that movie recently. So that's how we got on this whole topic.
Okay.
Because I watched that movie. So that's the whole loop that we just went in on the show, was because of that.
Wow.
I know. Do you have any actual topics, or are we just, what are we doing?
We can't just hang out.
No, we can totally. We can just chit chat about whatever. You've got a little bit of health.
My main
left.
Topic was just what I've been doing in my life. I volunteered. I did on Sunday. We did a Shrek themed D&D campaign that I would just like to shout out Noah
Shrek
for organizing.
Monster?
Shrek actually was a villain, but he was. I mean, speaking of hypnotism, he was hypnotized into being a villain in this case.
By who?
By Pinocchio, who was the villainous mastermind.
Oh, the guy, may God bless everyone.
Exactly.
That's what he said in the movie.
And I was the gingerbread man, otherwise known as Gingy. And I had the power to like grow to 20 feet because I actually forgot that in the movies, it's like the second or third one,
he gets huge.
The big Gingy is a different character. It's actually not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The original one, they make a really big one. So I was a little bit confused because I thought it was Gingy that got big, but the big one is a different guy. But in the D&D campaign, I was the same guy, and I could just get really big. But that was just a lot of fun. Noah did a really good job setting it up. He was like playing the Shrek soundtrack, like All Star would start playing when we started a battle, and it was just really funny.
That's pretty good. I love
it
when people
really
take the little bit of extra care when doing a TTRPG campaign.
Exactly.
Just like sound effects, music, you know, a little bit of visual aid, turn the lights down or whatever it is that makes sense. It's helpful.
So we had to have a reason for all of us to come together, which was just that we all had like lost items recently. There's like a thief going around. And so we get together and kill some people and then find out that it's Pinocchio has... I don't actually remember why he was
so
stealing
there was
all our
murder.
Stuff.
You killed other
we
Shrek
did,
characters.
Yeah, we did straight up kill
Who?
Two guys. We
Who
killed
and how?
Robin Hood and the Pied Piper. And I'm
how?
Dying. With fucking right. axes and stuff.
You hacked Robin Hood to death with an axe?
I didn't. Somebody did.
We could just stand in the airport. The lighting's nice in here.
I really
we won't
wanted
die.
To try to climb up onto this balcony behind you, but it won't let me. I think there's an invisible wall.
You can ride these things? Oh my god, amazing. Have you ever played the or heard of the tabletop RPG Dread? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Dread is like D&D, only it's one of those games where the character creation situation is just a... like a questionnaire, sort of like, almost like a psychology, like you're going to your therapist. It's like a bunch of random questions, like kind of presupposing things about you. So it's like 10 questions about like, you know, what, I can't even remember what they are. But the point is
like
there's
a
none of the numbers.
It's quiz?
Just it's like a personality quiz kind of, and you just fill out the questions and then you hold on to all your answers and that just informs your character. And everyone has a different set of questions that they answer, and these are all one-off campaigns generally. The way that it works is there's a DM like normal, a dungeon master. For those who are not familiar, this would be the leader who sort of determines the story and the rules. And then you have a Jenga tower in the middle of the table.
Wait, really?
And any action
what are you talking
any
about,
action
dude?
You want to do is you say I'm going to do this, and then the DM goes, it tells you how many pulls you have to do to pull that off, basically. And most of the campaigns are horror themed. And then when the Jenga tower dies, whatever action you did that knocked the Jenga tower over becomes the way that you died, no matter how absurd or not absurd that it is. And so it would often be things like you're walking in the woods and then you come back from camping and there's an apocalypse. And so you do all these things and everyone's pulling Jenga pieces. And the harder the things you do, the more Jenga pieces you have to pull. And then at the end, everybody will eventually die is kind of the way it goes.
Yeah.
But it uses Jenga as a way to do actions. And so it's like constantly ratcheting up the tension in terms of the longer you get into it, the, you know, like early on you can do riskier things.
Yeah.
And then later on you have to really be careful about it.
Yeah. That does sound funny
and
makes sense.
Dies.
The way you described it was really funny because you're like, first you take a personality quiz and then there's a Jenga tower and it sounded like you were just making a joke and describing something ridiculous.
No, it's a real game. It's I don't know if it's the most fun I've had at a tabletop RPG, but it's just a really like low stakes.
Yeah.
anyone would do that. Pretty
it
much.
Sounds
just
fun
like playing imagination, but with
simple,
a Jenga tower,
which I like because I
yes.
can't think.
It's nifty.
I'm
D&D gets
dumb.
A little thinky sometimes, you know. I was going to ask about is there any internet drama we can talk about this week? So if you have something better to say than that, you can kind of choose your own adventure now. If you'd rather go down that path.
No new internet drama. I just had a few comments that I wrote down to respond to.
Bring them out.
This person, I guess, is from Las Vegas because we were talking about the Sphere. And they said they're so glad that we love the Sphere. And if either of you could put on any show inside and a funny visual outside, what would they be?
Boy.
And I probably should have thought about this a little before I asked the question. But I like the question because I love the Sphere. I'm very fascinated by the Sphere. I think I just, I'm attracted to it like a crow to a shiny object. I just like that it exists. And I think it would be really cool to look at and be next to.
What things have they done in there as of right now? They've done, I know like U2 did a big concert and
yes,
made a bunch of visuals.
Yes, they've been doing
and
many concerts of bands that older people like for some reason.
Well, those are the people with money to go pay to go to the
I
Sphere,
guess,
I think, is
yeah.
probably what the prohibitive factor
U2
there is. U2
and Fish, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. People who are like super eager to spend a bunch of money to go to a novel experience. I would like to play Tetris Effect in the Sphere. I think that'd blow my mind.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
that'd
idea.
That'd be pretty sick.
Yeah.
Give me some Tetris Effect or any of those like crazy visual like audio games. Like, what was that one? Thumper? Or Rez, any of these games. Hook me up with that.
You ever play Audio Surf?
Audio Surf would be a great one. I never...
I loved that game.
I bet there's some pretty funny stuff you could do with the Sphere on the inside, or just like strange things.
Yeah, there...
That you could really freak people
there's
out.
There's some things that look actually like they might make me puke, because they start making it look like you're flying or falling or like... just really like warped stuff. I think it was No Doubt that had like just a black and white checkerboard up there that was like doing some crazy warping stuff that kind of made me feel like I would just pass out if I was looking at that in real life.
What if you could watch your own YouTube videos at the Sphere?
That's
you'd
so
be really
scary.
Big. That'd be crazy.
Would they be like all blown up so I'm all distorted?
I think so, yeah.
Because to fill
be
up
like
the whole
Ryan
screen
Gosling and looking up at Anna de Armas in whatever that cyberpunk movie was.
But I'm trying to think of a funny visual for the outside. I think the emojis are pretty funny. What's a funny...
The emojis are cute.
A big ball. What's a funny big
ball
you could put?
A funny big ball. maybe like a golf ball or...
Wow. Basketball.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Soccer ball?
Do they ever put the Earth on it? Or the moon? The
Maybe.
Moon would
I
be
mean,
cool.
What, how much... You think... I wonder how much do you think it costs? You think I could afford to put something on the Sphere? How much?
That's a good question. It probably is a lot, but...
Something on the Sphere. Oh, fuck. $2 million.
Jesus Christ. Seriously?
Depends on, like, where... Like, the cheapest it gets during off-season... 450,000 per day.
I mean, it is probably like it's freaking visible from space, I bet. Is it?
No way. Not like this. I'm sure you can see that, like, if it was nighttime, you could see a little dot, but there's no way you would actually be able to, like, see what was on it, right? That'd be crazy. How do they make money?
I don't know. It might be one of those things that at the end of the day is just kind of a huge waste of money, because I'm sure it costs so much in, like, electricity to run it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm wondering. Venue operating costs, $3 million. So it costs about $12 million a year. I don't know where this is coming from. This is coming from spheentertainment.com. Jesus, an average annual electricity bill of $18 million.
I don't know, but I love that it exists.
Yeah, good for them. The most thing I'm most excited for is after it goes bankrupt and then it's just sitting there. That's going to be sick.
And then people start hacking it and putting stuff up there.
Yes, that's the cyberpunk future is coming. Because, you know, we're going to run out of water in that area at some point. It's kind of amazing that we haven't yet. But Vegas just it's not in a good place. We're gonna run out, and so everyone's gonna start leaving. 30 years from now, I can't imagine that the Sphere is still gonna be functional. I think
that's so true.
It's gonna be a really fun thing to go visit.
That's gonna be a really crazy abandoned building, the Sphere.
It's gonna be so crazy.
I did also want to mention
good progress.
That I am deeply sorry last time I said that Legolas didn't have a love interest. I forgot about Gimli, which I'm really ashamed to say, because I did like read all the books recently, and I was like, I had a really big Lord of the Rings phase in the last couple years, and so I feel really bad that I forgot about Legolas and Gimli, who are canonical lovers, and I guess that's just homophobic of me that I wasn't thinking of that. So
you're using the tone of voice that you use when you're lying, but I can't tell.
No, I'm not lying. I'm 100% serious.
This is real?
Yeah. I mean, when I say canonical, I'm saying, like, it's not like Tolkien says they kiss, but they... It's, like, pretty well accepted in the community that they are a thing.
Hold on.
Or they're at least, like, platonic besties on a soulmate type of level, because they do love each other.
Do they say that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they use the word
love.
They say,
I love you.
I mean, in some kind of poetic way, I'm pretty sure they say that.
Would you say there's more evidence for them being in love? Like, are they more in love than Dumbledore was gay, according to the books? Like, which one has more...
Yeah, I would say so, because Dumbledore being gay is barely explored in the books at all.
Okay, cool. All right, I just wanted to try and understand. There is definitely a Lord of the Rings expert in our audience. And
I'm sure. And they're going to write 5 paragraphs, and I appreciate it.
There's
going to
be 6 different people commenting back and forth about how Gimli and Legolas weren't in love, but they were in love, but they weren't, and oh, they couldn't have been, and we've caused a whole situation. In fact, it probably already happened by the time they got to this part
of
the pod.
Right, exactly.
And now they'll get to look back and go, oh, shoot, I just got called out.
I mean, I think it's up to the individual's experience of it. I absolutely experienced it as, like, Frodo and Sam definitely were in love, but maybe they just didn't even take it far enough in their minds to be romantic because of, you know, their own internalized homophobia, you know, those hobbits.
Yeah. But, no. I think there is that you're being facetious slightly, but there is like a truth to that, which is like, I think we like the love you have for a companion and a friend is like, why do I feel like your character is gradually getting closer to me? Your face is like right up against my face.
I feel the same way about you.
And that's not how it was before. Yeah, what the heck's going on?
Maybe we just kind of wobble. I am kind of
wobbly.
Anyway,
we should have basically equal love and respect for like platonic love as romantic love. Like they are different, but not in like intensity, so to speak. It's just
for
in
sure.
tone.
Yeah. That's
and,
what
and
I would
kind
say.
People kind of forget that. They think that one is less.
That's why I would say like, sorry, I'm distracted by the fact that if you look closely at this moving walkway, wait, both of them, the railings are moving the opposite direction of the floor.
Well, that don't make any damn sense.